Let's say good morning to Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. Good morning, Brett. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. Doing great.
Now, I just found out your wife is going to the movies.
No, my wife is forcing me to the movies tomorrow to see the K-pop Demon Slayer, and it's a sing-along.
Okay, let's talk about that, Brett. Now, this is a huge thing. These K-pop movies are huge.
That's exactly right. K-pop Demon Hunters, it is the number one streamed movie in all of Netflix history. It is the most successful piece of content that they put out. It took the summer by storm this past couple months. They released it in earlier this summer, and now they're releasing another version because it's so popular. It's the sing-along version, like you said. It's coming out just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so a limited time, but let's just say you'll be singing tunes with a lot of young people in the theater this weekend.
Yeah, the grandkids are coming along, 9 and 6.
No, not me.
Don, you can take my place.
No, not me. This next movie sounds like a horror movie, but it's not. It's a family movie. Stitchhead. Doesn't that sound like a horror movie?
It certainly does, but it's actually a delightful PG family animated film. It's this wonderful movie, and it follows this character, Stitchhead. He's this small little creature that was awoken by a mad professor, and he's in a castle and has to try to protect the professor's other creations, which look menacing but are actually very sweet, from the neighboring townspeople that don't understand them. So if you're looking for an animated movie to take the kids to, this is a really delightful film.
Begonia, what's that about?
Begonia, R-rated dark comedy, getting great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 89% on this one. It stars Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons. It's actually the remake of a South Korean movie called Save the Green Planet that was so good they put it into production for a remake. And it has these two conspiracy-obsessed young men. They kidnap this high-powered CEO of a major company played by Emma Stone, and they're convinced that she's an alien intent on destroying planet Earth. And the story goes through these themes of misinformation and paranormal. And as an audience, you've got to question yourself, if this woman played by Emma Stone is truly an alien, or she is just a victim of her kidnapper's delusions. So really great movie out there, dark comedy, Begonia, and that's being put out by Focus Features right now.
Here's one I've never heard of, Anniversary. What's that about?
Yeah, this is a political thriller. So Anniversary, Diane Lane leaves this cast. She's a political science professor. And at her 30th anniversary party with her husband, tensions are raised and loyalties are questioned, because as a couple, they meet their son's new girlfriend. And it turns out she's a former student of Diane Lane's character, and she has some radical viewpoints. And she's become the star of a new political movement. So there's a lot of clashing there in Anniversary, that thriller.
Here's one of my favorite movies of all time, Back to the Future. You say, wait a second, that's an old movie. Yeah, from 40 years ago, but you're bringing it back.
That's exactly right. It started out last night. We bought it for a showing. It's playing late matinees every day this weekend and this week. What a wonderful movie Back to the Future is. Of course, 40 years ago in 1985, it was released. You can't go wrong with this one on the big screen. I'm taking my 9-year-old son to it. He's never seen the movie, and what better time to bring him and show him this movie on the big screen? And it's a movie I've probably watched over 100 times. I could watch another 100 and never gets old. What a great movie with Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. So Back to the Future, back on the big screen. It's the American Film Institute. It's number 14 on their list of greatest movies ever. So check that one out on the big screen with an audience.
Your old North Shore Cinema, which was on Good Hope Road, 70 North 76th Street in Milwaukee one time. It played there for exactly 1 year, Back to the Future. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, and that was in the old days when they had to run film prints. So you got to think about that. Film print was probably very dirty by the time that year ended. They probably had to get a few new ones.
Yeah, I remember that played for a year. I went to go see the Back to the Future 2 anniversary, which was October 15th, 2015, which happened to be the exact date that Doc Brown and Marty McFly go into the future. Remember that? To save his son or something, who did something stupid or some betting thing, whatever it was. So that was the date they go, and we went to go see the movie that day. And USA Today even reprinted on their paper, on their newspaper, the cover that Marty McFly sees in the movie. And people picking up USA Today that day that hadn't seen Back to the Future 2 had no idea what USA Today was talking about on the cover. They just reprinted the news cover from the movie. Although, I mean, those retro movies are really fun to go back to and see on the big screen. Before we get to movie news, let's talk about what's coming out, because we've got some big movies coming out in November.
Yeah, definitely some great ones. We've got Predator Badlands. It's going to open up next weekend. So if you're a Predator fan, this one may be for you. It's going to be awesome to go see this movie on the big screen. So Predator Badlands is coming out. We then have the next weekend. So this comes out the weekend of November 14th. We have a remake of the movie The Running Man. Now, this is based on a Stephen King novel. He wrote it as Richard Bachman. And if you remember in the 80s, Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in this movie, The Running Man, in that version. This is a new one with Glenn Powell. And I've seen the movie. You're going to enjoy it. We'll talk about it next week. But this is The Running Man. It's rated R, but it's an action spectacular. You've probably seen the movie from the 80s. It's a great guilty pleasure movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. This story stays a little more true to Stephen King's book, and it stars Glenn Powell.
I think Richard Dawson was in the original one from Family Feud. Wasn't he in The Running Man?
No, he wasn't in Family Feud. He was the guy that was in that World War II.
Yeah, I know. He was also the host of Family Feud, Richard Dawson.
He was
in Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah,
Hogan's Heroes. He was also the host for years on Family Feud, and he was in The Running Man playing a game show host in that movie. All right, here's the one I'm waiting for. I love musicals. I've seen this in Chicago on stage. And now here we go. Part two to Wicked.
Yeah, that's right. So the next weekend, it's officially set to release on November 21st, Wicked for Good. Everyone has been talking about this. The first one was released last year, November, around this time. Now we're up for Wicked for Good. Everyone's been anticipating this one. And let me tell you, tickets are going fast. So take a look at this week and buy your tickets now. Get your reserve seat. Get it all set. Because there are plenty of opportunities to see Wicked. It's being released on the 21st. However, there are early access screenings going on November 19th. There is the premiere day screenings happening on the 20th, and then the official opening on the 21st. So declare all of that week, Wicked Week, officially open on the 21st, early showings a couple days earlier. Everyone enjoyed the first one. Everyone enjoys the musical. You're going to enjoy this one. That's all I can say about it. So get your tickets. It's going
to
be great.
It is. And the music is just fabulous. Some of the greatest songs are still to come from Wicked.
So, Don, do you recommend seeing Wicked 1 before going to see Wicked 2?
I mean, you know what it is. It's basically the Wizard of Oz type of story. You know what it is. Here's something interesting. I read the other day, you will not see Dorothy Gale's face in either part one or part two. And the director gave a reason, and I didn't quite understand it. I didn't know why, because in the original, the one they just had last November, you see the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow and Dorothy, but you see them in the distance, but you don't see Dorothy's face. And he said in this one too, you'll see them, but you won't see Dorothy's face. I don't know why he did that, but that's what he did. But you should see part one, but I mean, you know the story. I mean, it's... You know the story.
Well, I know the story of the Wizard of Oz.
That's it. That's what it is.
Oh, it is.
This is basically how the Wicked Witch became wicked. But it follows. I mean, see part one.
I should go see part one.
You got to see part one.
But part two, would it be a standalone? I mean, could I go to part two without seeing part one?
Yeah, the music, and it's a great musical. And Brad, are you guys eventually going to run one and two together?
Well, actually, this is an excellent segue, because starting the week earlier, we are showing the first one back in the big screen. So we're going to bring it back the week before. You can go check out the first one, and then you can see the new one the following week. So we are doing exactly that. People want to catch up on it. People might not have seen the first one for whatever reason. Yeah. Do I think you could piece it together? Of course you could. Yeah. However, the first one was so great, and you probably want that backstory. I'd go out and I'd see the first one before you go see the second one. Probably not absolutely necessary, but why not? It was such a good film, you'll want to see it.
Is there going to be a sing-along version?
They did. Didn't they have a sing-along version?
My wife would love that.
You know, they did last Christmas release a sing-along version, so not initially, but I would say look out for it. They're always looking to do some of those things as well. I would say I'm quite surprised, because, I don't know, you wouldn't want me singing Broadway, Broadway type songs.
No, me neither.
Theater.
And one more new one coming out, Zootopia 2.
That's right. Coming up, Zootopia was one of the most successful movies that came out from Disney, and now it's coming out again in Zootopia 2. This one's being released over Thanksgiving weekend. It's an amazing time to go with your family over Thanksgiving weekend. And in this one, all the characters from Zootopia are back. This time, it's a buddy comedy with everyone from the first one, plus some new characters. And you know the great thing about these movies is the fact that anyone from the ages of 3 to 103 that's alive can go watch these movies. They are so amazing because they appeal to young people, middle-aged people, adults, older adults, anyone can enjoy this. Zootopia 2 will likely be one of the biggest movies of this year, and it will run from Thanksgiving weekend all the way through the holidays, but you can go check that out at the end of this month as well.
Song to one of the scariest movies I've not one of those it is the scariest movie I've ever seen. That's Mike Oldfield, Tubular Bells, the theme song to the movie The Exorcist. Frightening film, still frightened to this day. And we're gonna ask David and Brett with their scariest films. Brett, what was the scariest movie you've ever seen, the one that made you wet your pants?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it was that one, so I'll give the audience another one. The Exorcist, for me, holds up so well. You go ahead and you watch that movie. I just watched The Godfather the other day, which came out around that time. I thought it held up tremendously. The Exorcist, you can show this movie to anyone, and they will be scared to death. So it holds up. It's a great movie. That was my favorite, but since we already talked about it, there was a movie that's recently been released, and the sequel is out now. The Black Phone 2 is out now, but The Black Phone released in 2021. I don't see horror movies very much. I had to go see this one at a screening, and I was in a screening with 300 other people, and there are so many jump scares in this movie that the people around me thought I was nuts. I was gripping the armrest. I was doing whatever I could to get through this movie. There are great jump scares in the 2021 movie, The Black Phone, that stars Mason Thames and Ethan Hawke. Go check that out. It's a great jump scare movie, so that would be a second one for me.
What about you, David?
You know, I can't remember the last time I, quote-unquote, saw a horror movie. I'm not into the slasher ones.
It's they don't scare me. Yeah,
yeah, it's the psychological ones that, you know, so I'm drawing a blank here.
The one I saw was from 1963, Robert Wise, in between The Sound of Music and West Side Story. He directed a thriller called The Haunting with Julie Harris and Russ Tamblyn.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see, there's no blood in it. There's nothing. It's all psychological. Now, they made a remake with Liam Neeson. Forget that one. That one sucked. The original Haunting from 1963, directed by Robert Wise, every time I see it, I get chills. It's that kind of movie. You never see anything. You think you do.
Well, you know, it's like The Sixth Sense or the other. Yeah. Remember The Others with...
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good, The Others. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're watching her play out. She thinks her house is haunted.
Don't give it away.
It came out 40 years ago.
I don't care. Don't give it away. We don't do spoilers.
But anyway, you know, and it just... And the twist at the end was like...
It is a great twist. Excellent twist. You're right. Mm-hmm. The Others. I forgot about that one. Yeah, that's a good one. But The Haunting and The Exorcist. Ugh. Every time I see him, I get chills. And I don't mind seeing him now because I know what's coming. When I first saw The Exorcist, I had no idea what was coming.
Right.
All right. We got some movie news. Brett, what do you have for us?
Well, a couple of things coming up. Warner Brothers has set a date for the Hello Kitty movie. They're looking at July 2028. No other details, but the character has had success in video games, animated series, and comics. I'll tell you one thing for certain. Be prepared for some very creative Hello Kitty popcorn buckets and merch at the theaters for this one. Hello Kitty coming out in July 2028.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. We'll get you a Hello Kitty backpack. I've seen those. I'll get Brett. You can go to your Marcus headquarters with a Hello Kitty backpack on you.
We'll get
David one too.
Everything.
David can go to the
city council meetings.
City council meetings with his Hello Kitty backpack
with a budget in the my budget book in there.
Okay. What else we got?
All right. Zeb Zell is tapped to write the Buck Rogers movie. He's the writer of Deadpool and Wolverine, and he's going to write the sci-fi adventures of Buck Rogers. It's been a while since we've seen Buck in the mainstream. I think the story and the casting will be critical to its success. So Legendary is going to produce this one. And Buck Rogers, haven't seen him around for quite some time. We'll see if it makes it to the big screen with an impact.
Call of Duty, another video game coming to the big screen, huh?
That's right. A very, very popular video game. So Yellowstone creator Taylor Sheridan is teaming up with filmmaker Peter Berg, and they're set to develop a movie based on Call of Duty. It's one of the most popular video game franchises ever. It's been one of the top video games for years, and it features these immersive first-person shooter action sequences and the backdrop of pretty much every major war they've done a video game for, present day and even beyond. So it will be a tough task to live up to, but it's certainly got a following. Call of Duty coming out in the future.
Here's some movie news for you. How many Scrooge movies can you think of? I can think of a ton of them, and I'm still probably missing some of them. Two new Scrooge movies coming out. Johnny Depp will play Scrooge in a new version of A Christmas Carol, and Willem Dafoe will be in another version of A Christmas Carol. Boy, they never get, I don't think they have to pay any rights to make it because the copyrights are all gone. So it's, free to make. All right, this is interesting here. Major movie stars that got their start in horror movies. I'm going to name the stars, see if you can name the movie. Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey got their start in this horror movie in 1994. Any guesses?
Drawing a blank, Dan. Go ahead.
It's The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. Viggo Mortensen. He got his start in another Texas Chainsaw movie, number 3, called Leatherface. How about George Clooney? His first big acting job was in a horror movie from 1987. Anybody know? The Return to Horror High. Charlize Theron, Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest.
I remember seeing Children of the Corn 1.
Yeah, that was good.
That was creepy.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Johnny Depp, Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. He was in that. Jennifer Aniston in the original Leprechaun. Kevin Bacon, he was a victim in the 1980 thriller, Friday the 13th, the original. Do you remember that when he got a knife in the back of the neck when he was sleeping in bed? Yeah. All right,
I don't remember it. I remember going to see that one.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, slasher movies don't do anything for me. Amy Adams, Psycho Beach Party, and Tom Hanks got his start, his first big acting role in 1980.
Bosom Buddies?
He knows you're alone. Everybody has to get their start somewhere. All right.
Where'd you get your start, Don?
I got my start as a janitor on Long Island. It was pretty scary. Let's see what else I got for you guys here. Vampire movies. All right, here they go. This is the perfect time of year for vampire movies. Parade.com put together the best use of the top 5. Nosferatu, the vampire from 1979. Dracula from 31 came out number 4. And this is interesting. Dracula, the same year, 1931, two Dracula movies came out using the same sets. The Spanish version, they listed better. It was a Spanish language version. Bela Lugosi shot his version during the day, and overnight, they shot the Spanish version with different actors on the same set, verbatim. But they said the Spanish version's much scarier. Well, Let the Right One In, number 2. And from 1922, Nosferatu, with a guy who claimed he was a real vampire, starred in the film. That was scary. My favorite vampire movie is Fright Night. You guys ever see that one?
No.
Do you ever see that, Brett? Fright Night?
I did not.
You never saw Fright Night with Chris Sarandon and Amanda Burse and Williams Ragdale and Roddy McDowell?
My favorite one is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, with Frankenstein the werewolf and
Dracula.
Yeah. And in the end,
The Invisible Man.
Yep.
Yeah. With Vincent Price played the Invisible Man. Of course, you don't see him.
You hear him.
Oh, I'm out of time here. Okay. We didn't get a chance to get to my other horror stuff here. Next year, we'll save it. Hey, Brett, so quickly, give us the titles of the new movies out.
All right, new movies out. K-Pop Demon Hunters, the sing-along edition, only out this Friday through Sunday. Stitchhead, the animated movie, great for kids, rated PG. Begonia, rated R, starring Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons. That's a dark comedy. And Anniversary, starring Diane Lane. It's a thriller. It's rated R. That's coming out. And then we've got the re-release of Back to the Future. So much to go see. Go check out a movie this weekend.